From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
The greatest things in your life, beloved, that you need accomplished today can only be accomplished through God. The greatest dreams that you have, most noble aspirations, come true because God does something. He brings someone into your life. He causes someone to have a favorable response to you. He gives you a child. He places you in a Christian family. And that same God will speak into your life and into mine. And out of nothing, out of hopelessness, He'll bring hope if you will receive the promise. The greatest things happen when God gets involved.
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief, that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us a message entitled, Father Abraham Had Many Sons, as we continue our series, A Word from Another World, Messages from Romans. Children in Sunday school may sometimes sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. Well, the Pharisees claimed that they were sons of Abraham, and yet Jesus told them in no uncertain terms, you are of your father, the devil. How can you become a child of the living God and walk in the footsteps of the faith of Father Abraham? The Bible text for today is from Romans 4, verses 1 through 25. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Father Abraham Had Many Sons.
Have you ever had a Forrest Gump moment in your life? You're saying, what is that? Well, let me tell you, it means that you kind of show up and you're somewhere that you're not supposed to be, that's a really prestigious place, and you don't know how you got there, but all of a sudden, you know, you're standing in the midst of greatness. Well, that happened to me. I had to go down to Atlanta as part of my chaplain duty. I had to go down there and take care of some ministry. And while I was there, I decided to do as I always do when I'm in Atlanta, and that is go to that culinary mecca, the Varsity Drive-In. If you've never been there, you're missing something wonderful, particularly the chili cheese dog, which I had that day along with the Diet Coke. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing very Forrest Gumpy about that, except as I was going in the Varsity, I could tell the place was packed. I mean, something was going on and just cars everywhere. And, of course, I thought they were like me and they just wanted a good meal for lunch. Well, I walked through to get to the doorway. I always go into, you have to go up the stairs in the back of the Varsity where I go in, and there were policemen lined there. And I thought, well, they want a hot dog as well, and maybe they're just kind of standing out here eating it, you know. And they tipped their head to me and, you know, smiled at me. And I know now, on the other side of this story, it was because of the uniform that, in fact, no one else was going through that door. But they saw me and they patted me on the back, and I walked right through thinking I was just going to get a hot dog. And I go in, and I walk up the stairs, and as I walk up the stairs, there are lights, and they're all over the place, and there are news reporters, and there are cameras, and I look, and I'm standing next to Mitt Romney. It was a press conference, and that area was blocked off. But they thought I was like a show and tell in the Mitt Romney press conference. And it was amazing that all of a sudden I was in greatness, so to speak, and I walked right into it. Walked past all the guards to get right in the middle of it. I did think of that story this week as I thought about Romans chapter 4. How do you get into the family of God? How do you become an heir to all the promises of God? How is it that you kind of walk into the spotlight of God? How do you walk past the religious guards that may be guarding that sacred entrance? who's in and who's out and what are the credentials for getting in? The answer to that question could change your life. It would change the church at Rome. This morning, will you give attention to the reading of God's Word? For background, I want to read from the inerrant and infallible Word, beginning with Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, one of the most important passages in all of the Bible, we see God's promise to Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That's a great word for Abram. But like us, it can be a promise, if we don't see the promise coming true, that we can grow anxious about. And so God comes to Abram again in chapter 15. Will you turn there as I read from Genesis 15, beginning with verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you're able to number them. Then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and counted it to him as righteousness." What a wonderful moment where God spoke into being the things that were not yet there. And this man believes it. In 57 AD, there was a church in Rome, and many believed it was primarily made up of Jewish converts. There were also Gentiles, Romans. And there was a division in the church which plagued Paul. And he desired to come and to see them and to minister to them, because this is a great church and it was going to be used in a great way for missions to go forward. In fact, Paul wanted to plant a church in Spain, and this church was going to be used, but they were divided. And they were divided over genealogy. They were divided over, in one case, the Jewish part of the congregation claiming being a physical descendant of Abraham brought them certain merit before God and, for that matter, in the congregation. We know from Acts 15:1 that some men went about saying that you had to be circumcised, receive the old covenant sign of the covenant, in order to be saved. So there were difficult things going on in that congregation. And so Paul goes right to it. And in chapter 4 of Romans, he deals with the issue of Abraham. We're going to intercept the passage at verse 13, and what follows is an argument by the Apostle Paul that Abraham had actually received the grace of God and believed in God before, and if you count the years, it was years before he received the sign of the covenant. And that's the argument that he made, that before circumcision happened, he was already believing. So it can't be of that, and that means those who aren't of circumcision, if they believe, they too can have faith and inherit the promise. Verse 13, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. You ever hear a song and then you relate that song to a time of life? When I first heard the song, "Father Abraham had many sons, many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord," right hand, and so forth. I remember, what do I remember when I remember that? I was 6 years old, and I was at Vacation Bible School at the Live Oak Methodist Church. And what I also remember is the scorching heat of South Louisiana and the wonderful icy air conditioning of the sanctuary of Live Oak Methodist Church. Now, I went to Amit Baptist Church. And so when I heard this song, "Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, I am one of them and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord," I figured they were being kind to the Baptist children who were visiting the Methodist Church. And there's something to that. But that could be the theme song for Romans chapter 4, because that's what the Apostle Paul is dealing with in the congregation at Rome. He's talking about answering the question, who are the true descendants of Abraham? And that's a big question, because that means who is going to share in the blessing? Who is going to be part of God's family? That's what that means. This is an odd story. It is odd that God would base his whole salvation plan on the story of Abraham, because it is a story about a man who was not a mystic seeking God in the desert. He was a nobody from a nowhere place in a faraway time. And this man heard God, and God told him, "I want you to go somewhere." But he wasn't sure where he was going. And he made promises that sounded, quite frankly, grandiose. "In you, the whole world is going to be blessed." This man had problems. When he followed God, he ran into some problems one time, and he went through this land, and his wife Sarah was a very beautiful woman, and he was fearful that the sheik sort of leader of this land would actually kill him for his wife. So he pretended that his wife would be his sister. Not a very noble thing, but it saved his hide, but then did so at the honor and risk of life of his wife. So when Paul in chapter 4 asks about Abraham and asks, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham?" you look at his life and there are parts of it that are just plain odd. God came to this couple when Abraham was 100 and his wife was 90. At about that time, God comes and says that you're going to have a child. And so now we have an older woman and an older man who have been childless, who have been given a promise of a nation, a promise of a land, a promise of a blessing that was then going to extend to the entire earth and to every people group on earth, and they would all come from him. That's what it says. All the families of the earth were going to be blessed because of him. Christian humorist Martha Bolton, in her book A Funny Thing Happened on My Way Through the Bible, envisions what a baby shower might look like for 90-year-old Sarah. In one column, it's got gifts for the baby, pureed foods, a bib, gum ointment, and a walker. In the other column are the gifts for the mother-to-be, pureed foods, a bib, gum ointment, and a walker. It's an odd story. It's God's story. There's nothing human about it, except that he's using broken, fragile human people, which causes Paul to say, now, you think you've got merit because of him in the flesh? But Paul fleshes this out, and he says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He then goes on to say throughout the passage that Abraham, as he says in verse 16, is the father of us all. In verse 16, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares in the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So my next question is this: are you one of Abraham's children? You may be able to say, well, I'm a descendant of Isaac or Ishmael. There were a couple of others, two other lines. But that's not what Paul is getting at. Paul is saying that to be a child of Abraham, which means that you come into the blessing of the promises of Abraham, and you participate in the faith of Abraham, is not dependent on what you do, but what God has done. That is the whole message of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4. Physical works alone can't get the job done. The greatest things in your life, beloved, that you need accomplished today can only be accomplished through God. The greatest dreams that you have, most noble aspirations, come true because God does something. He brings someone into your life. He causes someone to have a favorable response to you. He gives you a child. He places you in a Christian family. The greatest things happen when God gets involved. And so the Apostle Paul wanted the Hebrew folk to know that the family of God included the British fellow who had been drafted into the Roman army and now found himself in Rome, and he was congregating with these people because he had heard of Jesus and he believed in him. Or the fellow from Asia Minor, or the African who sat with him on the back row of the church in Rome, or the fellow from Gaul, modern day France, who sat on the front row, the East Asian merchant, the side of the congregation where they gathered, where they felt excluded from others, Paul is saying they too are the children of Abraham if something has happened. If they have believed in the same way Abraham has believed, by faith. Are you a child of Abraham? The answer then is, do you have the faith that Abraham had? You say, I do not have that faith. Do you mean that I trust in a God who will do for us what we can't do for ourselves, a God who's going to send his Messiah, and then from him is going to bless the entire earth? Yeah, I believe that, but I tell you, I just don't have a strong faith. I talked to a lady very recently, within hours after her husband died, and she told me, she said, I just feel like I don't have much faith right now. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, faith doesn't mean that you have all the answers, but you're looking to the one who does. There's a wonderful passage in chapter 4 that I just love. Look at it, verse 18. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Eugene Peterson, in his The Message, a paraphrase of the Bible, put it like this: when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. I love that because you know what this is? This is wonderful news if you feel like a spiritual orphan. If you feel like you've got so much stuff in your past and it's somehow keeping you out, you know what? The gospel says that to trust in Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, that faith itself is a gift. You don't have to work it up. It's a gift. You ask for it and God will give it to you. And you believe against all hope. What does that mean? Well, hope envisions that there's going to be a time when things are going to change and there's a desire within you and an anticipation within you. And this is saying that there was no hope. He was too old. But against all hope, he believed. Now that's a gift. That's a gift that God will give any of you. Against all hope of the situations in your life, God will meet you right here, right today, this morning, right where you are. Against all hope, he'll give you the faith to believe. Last question I want to ask you, do you know Abraham's Savior? Because the promise that Abraham was looking to is Jesus. Your father Abraham, Jesus said to the Jews in his day, rejoiced. He rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. That's what Abraham was believing in. And then he saw it. God allowed him to see it. And he was glad. You see, one of the most important truths in the Bible is that Jesus is the promise. He is the fulfillment of the promise. He is the hope of the ages. All of the promises of Abraham find their meaning in the beautiful person of Jesus of Nazareth. And the Bible says that. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we preached among you, was not yes and no, but in Him it's always yes. Listen to this now. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. How do you get into the spotlight? How do you get into the important place? How do you get into the room? How do you get into the family? Through Jesus. He's the one Abraham was looking to. And that's what Paul is wanting to say, is that let Jesus be the center of your congregation, the center of your lives. He's the promise fulfilled. And so Paul ends this passage in Romans chapter 4 by talking about how God spoke something out of nothing, thinking of creation. That's the way He did creation. He spoke something out of nothing when He gave Isaac, laughter, Isaac, to Abraham and Sarah when they were of riper years. And He is the one who speaks life to God who was dead on a slab in a tomb. And God the Father spoke life and raised His only begotten Son out of the grave. And that same God will speak into your life and into mine. And out of nothing, out of hopelessness, He'll bring hope if you will receive the promise. I mentioned this woman who was grieving. I had the wonderful opportunity of speaking the word of hope, the promise, Jesus Christ, to her husband. And I'll never forget that when I got to the place where I said, I was basically saying, the way in is through faith. And faith itself is a gift, so don't worry about having to manufacture it. Just ask for it, and God will give you the ticket that you need. It's all in Jesus, so you just believe and trust in Him, and He'll give you even the faith to believe. And he looked across me at his wife and he said, is that true? And she said, yeah, honey, it's true. I've been telling you this. Sometimes it takes someone else. Sometimes it's hard for loved ones to hear from other loved ones. He had a rag in his hand where he had been wiping his brow from sweating in his sickness. And he buried his head in that towel. And then he caught himself. And I said, would you like to receive this free gift and transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus Christ and receive all of the blessings of the promise, including eternal life and peace in your heart right now? You know what he said? There was no emotion. He just said, yes. And I said, well, let's pray. And then I got the call that he went to be with the Lord. Are you a son or a daughter of Abraham? That means, are you part of the family of God? Well, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Are you one of them?
We can begin to walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham when we become children of the living God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Well, Mike Milton joins us in the studio right now. Dr. Milton, in Romans chapter 4, it states that Abraham is counted righteous because of his faith. What is the evidence given for this?
Well, in chapter 4, Abraham believes in the truth that the sign of the covenant, the old sign of the covenant, circumcision, is pointing toward. That is, that we are accounted part of God's people merely because of the grace of God and because God chooses us. So Abraham looks through the sign by faith to see the truth behind the sign. In the Bible, we also know that God chose Abraham and called Abraham to go to a place that was unknown to Abraham, but he trusted in God. And so by faith, he followed God to an unknown country. By faith, Abraham followed God in the giving of his son Isaac. So in numerous occasions in Abraham's life, he follows God simply by faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us then that this is the way Abraham was accounted righteous, by faith in God, through these various ways.
Well, thank you, Dr. Milton. Now, if you'd like an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for the message entitled, Father Abraham Had Many Sons. Get right to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Or call us at 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. This program is also available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga. To learn more about the ministry, visit us on the web at faithforliving.net or call 423-267-1206. That's 423-267-1206. Now until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.